Good afternoon, everyone. A man was getting ready to fly to Los Angeles from Boston, so he got on the plane, and as he sat down, he couldn't help but notice the man sitting next to him was gripping the arm of the seat for all he was worth, white-knuckling it. And finally, out of curiosity, he asked him, "Are you nervous about flying?" And the man said, "No, I'm going out to Los Angeles for the first time to interview for a job, and I've heard all these horror stories about Los Angeles, and I just don't know that I want to move my family out there. I've heard about the pollution, the drugs, the gangs, the freeway traffic, and the unemployment." And the man sitting next to him asked and mentioned to him, well, he said, "You know, you can just relax." He said, "I've lived in Los Angeles all my life, and there's no problem at all. There's plenty of employment. They pretty well cleaned up the pollution. The gangs are under control. They've widened a lot of the freeways. So you really don't have anything to worry about. If I were you, I'd just go out there, get your job, buy a house in the suburb with a little white picket fence, move your family out there, and just live happily ever after." So hearing all that, the man relaxed his grip, noticeably relieved, and said, "Boy, thank you so much. That makes me feel so much better. By the way, what kind of work do you do?" "I'm a tail gunner on an ice cream wagon." Well, we spent 10 weeks in Los Angeles earlier this year that most of you know. And while I didn't see any tail gunners on any ice cream wagons, we certainly spent our share of time on the freeway. We were living with my son Greg in Brentwood, and each day I would drive to Loma Linda, which was 75 miles one way, for treatment and back. And all told, on the car driving down there, which Veronica did, we drove back together, we put about 11,000 or 12,000 miles on the car. But as I said, each day was a challenge going from Brentwood out to Loma Linda. One day I was driving and I'd gotten to probably the halfway point when I noticed the traffic was really beginning to slow down. Finally, it came to almost a complete standstill. And then as we moved, inched ahead, the lane started getting smaller and smaller as they moved us over to the right. And when we got up to where it was three lanes, I could see what had happened. A huge freight truck, apparently coming down the other side, had been going too fast, lost control, it brakes or something, I'm not sure, but had jumped the barrier and was on its side. And as I drove by, that wasn't the surprising thing. The surprising thing that was, you know, really remarkable was where the cab had been were only the two struts of the chassis sticking out in front of the back of it with the engine suspended between it. Everything else had been totally burnt to a crisp, incinerated. And I don't know if it was one of the new trucks that are made basically of plastic or what, but remarkably, the driver had survived. And but as I went through that, or by it, I was thinking, you know, if we'd been driving together, usually we were in that HOV lane and or the lane next to it, and that's exactly where that truck was. And when you think of Psalm 23, verse 4, where it says, "Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil, for I am with you." And I really thought about that scripture at that time. A few miles further up the road on that same day, about 8 or 10 miles, the traffic was coming to a slow down again. And this time I started to get a little worried because I didn't want to miss my appointment. So I'd learned that if you take the exit and drive along the frontage road, sometimes you can go 8 or 10 miles up the highway and then get back on the freeway with no problem, which is what I did. When I got to Loma Linda, I found out what had happened. A Mexican family in a pickup going at high speed had lost control, gone off the road, hit a tree, and then bounced back up on the freeway. And they had airlifted the two younger children who had survived to Loma Linda, which is kind of like Harborview. It's a trauma center for that area of the Inland Empire around San Bernardino. But I thought, once again, if I hadn't been slowed down for that first wreck, I may have been further up the road, and I may have been involved in that as well. And once again, when God says, "Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil, for I am with you." I mean, it was a very real statement. Veronica usually drove. She'd happened to stay home that day, so she was pretty much the chauffeur while we were there. And another day she was driving. And before she drove the car down, I told her, you know, we're going to be down here in April, which is going to be past the deadline for studded tires. So why don't you get them changed, and that way you won't have to worry about it. So when she took the car in to have the tires changed, Dick, the man who does the tires, took one look at the one she brought in. He said, these are all rotten. And when she told me about it, I kind of laughed because I could just visualize him doing that. And so he put on new tires all the way around. Well, on this particular day, I was very thankful that he had, because all of a sudden, we were going 65 or 70, you know, moving along with the traffic. Three cars in front of us put on their brakes all at the same time, and I couldn't tell why. But Veronica hit her brakes too, and I could feel the car starting to slide sideways. But the thing I remember the most was the acrid smell of burning rubber and the black smoke going up, ascending completely around the car. You couldn't see anything. Your vision was totally obscured. And I thought to myself, you know, the next time we bring the car in this fall to have the studs put on, Dick's going to take a look at these tires and say, these tires are rotten, because I'm sure we must have burned a quarter of inch of rubber off to do what we did. But we didn't. We didn't hit anyone. And I thought, once again, you know, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil, for God is there to protect us. Finally, the last example that I wanted to use, this happened a little while after that. Veronica was once again driving and had come on Highway 10, moved into the first lane, and was beginning to pick up speed and going to move into the lane to the left, and was about halfway into that lane when all of a sudden a zipper appeared. That was a word she coined while we were down there for these cars that you're going the freeway speed, 65 or 70, and all of a sudden they're zipping around in front of you going 20 or 25 miles an hour faster, not signaling, just darting here and there all over. I mean, they're really, really dangerous. Well, all of a sudden, right next to us, this young guy with long, straggly hair and a fire engine red car was closing. He was moving into the right lane as well. And I thought, we're dead. I mean, that was what I thought, because I didn't see how we could avoid colliding. What I'm about to tell you happened in seconds, and yet it takes a little while to describe. But as we closed and I just waited for the crash, I felt the left side of the Honda just kind of lift up like this, and I could see his car doing the same thing. And I don't know if we were so close that the air streaming between the cars created a cushion or not, but I mean, figuratively speaking, later when I thought about it and when I've told people, it seemed like just a big hand came down and prevented the cars from colliding. And that happened, you know, for several seconds, and then we veered away and he went on his way, probably down the road to terrorize someone else. But I thought, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. And these were overt things, two of them pretty close, two of them I observed. But what about all the times when that scripture is fulfilled and we don't even know how we're protected? Where we're late for work one day, or we don't make an appointment, or we do this or do that, not realizing that maybe if we'd been on time or someplace else. We may have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we don't know. And the epilogue to what I'm telling you of this story demonstrates a facet of that. As I said, we put 10,000 plus miles on the car, drove home, and drove the church the next day. And Sunday morning, I went out to start the car to go to town for some reason, and it wouldn't move. The transmission was gone. And I thought to myself, how often on that trip, particularly driving home through the Mojave Desert in Northern California along those long desolate stretches near Mount Shasta, what if the transmission had gone out then? Or all of the times that you had to maneuver during the time we were in Los Angeles to get in and out of the traffic to avoid hitting someone. And yet nothing ever happened. And one night when I was down there for the first time and had a late treatment around 11 o'clock, and so when I left, I wasn't familiar and it was dark. I got on the wrong freeway thinking I was getting on Highway 10. I got on a road going to San Bernardino. And I thought, you know, and there were gangs in San Bernardino because we'd read about them in the newspaper. What if I'd broken down in San Bernardino and a car full of gang members had come along and seen the out-of-state plates? But you never know. I mean, those are things that never happened. And we made it home. And the car, if it's going to break down, I'd rather have it break down in the garage or right at home than along some desolate stretch of highway. So God does protect us. And a week from now, we're going to observe the Day of Atonement, and several days after that, most of us will be heading out to the feast. And as we drive through the valley of the shadow of death, or fly through the valley of the shadow of death, or take a train, a bus, a boat, or in Africa or India, some of the third world countries where they have to walk to the feast through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil, because God our Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and an innumerable host of guardian angels who may be working overtime for some of us are there to protect us. So with that assurance, with that confidence, with that hope, we should all look forward to having a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles 2007, and I'm sure most of you will come back and say it was the best feast ever.